So Texas has adopted UCC Article 5 in Section 5 of the Title 1, Chapter 5 of the Texas Business and Commerce Code. And besides that, of course, I mentioned contract law and case law. And you look to contract law for the source of interpretation for your letter of credit. For example, the contract rules of construction apply. So this includes the provision that a contract is generally construed most strictly against its author, and that the intent of the contracting parties is to be upheld whenever possible, as long as a reasonable result is reached. And really important are the rules and practices put forth by the International Chamber of Commerce. And you're going to hear about these a lot in letter of credit practice. And the two that generally apply are the Uniform Customs and Practice and the International Standby Practices. So the International Chamber of Commerce, just a little backstory here, it was formed in Paris, France in 1919 after World War I to establish uniform guidance and to advocate policy in the realm of international business, trade, and commerce. And in 1933, the ICC adopted the Uniform Customs and Practices. It has had several revisions since 1933. The most recent revision dates from 2006 in the ICC publication 600. And the UCP doesn't specifically refer to standby letters of credit, but instead it was meant to apply to documentary letters of credit. But some issuers still utilize the UCP to govern their letters of credit to the extent its rules may apply. Now, in 1998, the International Standby Practices, or the ISP 98, were adopted specifically for standardizing practices and letters of credit. And arguably, I've heard that these are the more common sets of standards issuers use in standby letters of credit. I don't know. I've seen UCP and ISP 98 about half and half. But keep in mind that the UCP and the ISP 98 are not themselves law, but rather they are the standards by which the parties in a letter of credit agreement agree that the letter of credit will be governed by. And the letter of credit should state which set of rules it is governed by within the document. Now, the parties to a letter of credit transaction include the applicant. And the applicant, of course, and by the way, these are defined in the Texas Business and Commerce Code in Section 5102. But the parties are the applicant, or account party or customer, and however designated, this is the party who requests the letter of credit from a bank or another institution. In a standby transaction, this will be like the borrower or obligor who obtains credit. And so naturally, the applicant needs to have a letter of credit sufficient to obtain, a level of credit sufficient to obtain credit in the first place. The applicant is going to be responsible for reimbursing the issuer if the letter of credit is paid. Next, we have the beneficiary. And of course, that's the party entitled to receive the benefits after drawing upon the letter of credit. Maybe there's a mortgage company who needs extra credit support for the collateral, and that would be the beneficiary should the collateral not be sufficient enough to repay the note. The issuer, of course, is the bank or other creditworthy party who issues the letter of credit and agrees to pay the beneficiary or honor the draw when the beneficiary presents the required documents when it makes the draw. And this obligation of the issuer is a simple, unsecured corporate undertaking, and it is not insured by the FDIC. Some other players you may come across are the confirmer, and the confirmer is a bank or other party that undertakes or confirms the obligation of the issuer and may have a stronger credit rating than the issuer. And the advisor is somebody who, at the request of, say, the issuer or another advisor, notifies the beneficiary that a letter of credit has been issued, confirmed, or amended.